Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are recapping episode number 9 of Deal or No Deal Island Season 2. Blake with the dance. I don't know, Blake, did you not realize we were going live? What was that dance? I'm confused.
No, I'm just showing you how freaking fun Deal or No Deal Island episode 9 was. Of it was just so fun. It was like
so. You lost Dr. Will. You lost Dr. Will, and you've just become the biggest baby of all time.
Well, that's how get used to it. This is how reality. I don't know if you ever heard of reality fans ever, or if you've just been in a bubble. But it's happening on the Traitors. It's happening on Survivor, even after one episode. So why wouldn't it happen here? But I mean, what did we watch people do today? We watched people.
Well, I actually thought I think that this was
balance beam and then mud.
He asked
crawl.
A question, didn't want my answer. He oh, wanted I'm, to give I'm, his negative I'm answer instead. Yeah, yeah. He wanted to give his negative
what did
answer
we watch people do today, Phil?
I thought this was Letty's breakout episode. I think you got to find a way to start positive, Blake. And I think this was a good episode for Letty. I think she showed up. I think she actually played the game. We've heard from everybody else on this season. Everybody who's left, I think we heard from Letty the least. And I feel like Letty had a strong episode. Like, we didn't hear much from Philip tonight. We honestly didn't hear that much from David tonight. We heard a little bit, but not a crazy amount. Parvati's confessionals feel like they're getting a little bit faker as the season goes on, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
She literally said, like, I just want to get to the end. Who cares?
Yeah. And then Letty, though, I mean, I feel like Letty played a solid game. Like, I feel like she made the right move. She got rid of Dixon. She called David's bluff, where David was like, I don't think you're going to do this. We both have CK as a trusted adversary. You know, we both are a common adversary. And so she decided, like, David decided to put her into the game instead of putting Dixon into the game, even though Dixon kept saying he wanted to go into the game. And Letty got rid of Dixon. And honestly, like, thank God, because I don't know if I could have handled another episode of Dixon and Letty having their on-island showmance thing. I couldn't handle it anymore.
That's not even real. That's not even worth talking about. Like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing for anybody over 30. You're like, come on, man.
I mean, it was... I thought it was funny that, like, okay, so this is where Deal or No Deal Island is doing this weird thing of towing a weird line between wanting to be taken very seriously and then also being like Survivor, like, and then wanting to be like Traitors-esque, right? Like, it doesn't know if it wants to be full on camp or full on serious. So it's kind of falling into this like middle zone. It's falling into this zone of some of it's really campy and some of it's not. Like, Parvati and David standing on the beach holding each other's arms like a mom and dad staring at Dixon, who is handing Letty this friendship bracelet thing. All of that feels so House of Villains. It feels like it is so contrived and made up and fake. But at the same time, like, everything else in the episode is trying to be very, very serious. So I think that's one thing that the show's gonna have to figure out as it continues to move forward, as there continue to be seasons, because there will be a season three. I think the ratings in season two have been pretty solid. They're not like amazing. They're not Traitors level. They're not Survivor level, but it's been solid enough that there will be a season three. I mean, Joe Manganiello is already out there talking about he wants Rob Cesternino on. Like, he's talking about what the future of this show looks like. I do think that it needs to figure out what line it wants to toe. And I personally, I think it actually is better off going the campy route a little bit more. That's not necessarily what I enjoy about the show. Like, that's not what I'm going to watch for, but I think it also depends on which players from which past shows you're putting on. If you're putting Survivor players on, you need to go a little bit more serious, because I don't really care. Parvati's confessionals tonight felt so outlandish and so unrealistic, but then when you like listen to Parvati do confessionals earlier in the season, it seems like she's doing her Survivor stuff right now. It feels like she's gotten into, hey, I'm gonna be a little bit more over the top, and I'm gonna be like giving fake storylines almost, which is what it feels like. So like, but if you want to go get Survivor fans involved, you need to go a little bit more serious. If you want to get Big Brother fans involved, if you want to go for like the Traitors mindset, then I think you have to lean into the camp a little bit more. I think that the challenges can't just be, here's an excursion, here's what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. It really does need to be, this is the bigger picture, and we're going to get into castle. You know, there aren't going to be castles, but you got to start thinking in terms of the Traitors, where it can't just be a balance beam with quicksand. There has to be more to it than that.
I think there is the idea of, none of our people are in costumes. Mm-hmm. Like that, that's a way that could quickly go more camp of like, you have to wear the Chiquita banana, like Chiquita across banana. The balance.
Why are we wearing a Chiquita banana?
That's the kind of like costumes that Big Brother has or whatever. Okay. Like that's how camp they go. And you're just not a Big Brother person, where some of us do roll our eyes when that happens, of the leotards come out, but like, it's something where you can have people go, oh my god, how wacky is that. This episode, once again, if you're not a fan of it, or if you are kind of like, hey, I want a little bit more nuance in my layers of reality alliances, them saying the thought process of the family, and it's something where I've heard all these things already. I get that as story producers, you can only get what people are giving you, but it's like, I need one more layer of like, Dixon doesn't even believe that Parvati can betray him. Dixon has no thought that David will leave him out to dry, because he didn't last time. And it's like, we need a layer of like, hopefully he doesn't get me this time, or I know I'm pushing my luck. Maybe it's time for me to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to me, the Parvati streak of immunity, when each...
Nine straight.
Yeah, each challenge has a thought process where it's like, whoever was in the weakest spot last time gets to start off. And why did Dixon get to go first? Because he was in the weakest spot last time. How did they justify that again? I watched it last
night.
Was
it because he was in the weakest spot last time?
It was like, but I don't know why, because maybe he was vulnerable, but he wasn't the one that went home. It was between him and, yeah, because it was
between him,
like,
and Michelle.
Yep. He's the only person that was vulnerable to go that didn't go. So he was in the weakest spot. So he gets to start everything off. Like, as soon as the family,
it's doing like the opposite of the Amazing Race, right? Like, where the Amazing Race used to punish the people, they don't really do it as much anymore. But it used to be like, if you come in however many minutes behind, you start that many minutes behind, so you would be rewarded for winning. Because, and then obviously they had the catch up portion of every leg. Oh, we have to wait till 9 a.m. when this opens or something like that. Right. But when it used to be, I guess it was 12 hours or something like that, that they would get their start. It was to reward the teams at least a little bit to like get their day going. And it feels like Deal or No Deal Island has elected to go the opposite route of the Amazing Race, where it's going with, we're going to actually be, what do you call it? Like, we're going to reward, we're going to try to help the people at the bottom work their way out of the bottom, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing for the show. It's just different.
But as soon as that power gets given to somebody in the family, it's like, oh, okay. Up next is David. Up next is Parvati. And I thought it was so funny of what was Dixon's big decision? Am I going to grab power with by giving it to David, or am I going to follow my heart with my fake showmance? And I'm playing the middle, and Dixon immediately gets the decision where he can't play the middle. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Dixon, now is the time. Like the fact that Letty did say the, like, take off your clown makeup. Why are you making them win the game for Parvi and David? It's like, nobody is focusing. And like, I know Dixon probably won't make it to the end on the other side, but with the side with the family, he got sixth. Mm-hmm. So if you do go after David and Parvati right here, you could get fifth and hopefully get further. I know there's a double elimination that's teased next time of like, what a huge twist. They're just like, we're trying to get this stuff over for you as quick as
possible. Well, because I think there's two episodes left. No, see, don't be so damn negative. There's no
reason. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. That was
God, that was so negative. Let's get it over with. We hate it.
I mean, Parvati literally said that in the thing. She goes, I don't care about what's happening right now. I want to get to the end as soon as possible. I've never heard a confessional like that in my entire life. And I feel like that is a layer of, I'm not doing this for the first time. This is my sixth show. I don't care about the day-to-day. I just want the money. Let's hurry it up. And yeah, I mean, like, I think that's a fair. Very unlikable confessional from Parvati. Of like, some of these people, like, if I was on Deal or No Deal as my one reality show thing, like, is going to happen for Dixon, probably seeing that later of like, oh, somebody I trusted literally could not care less about the day to day. I would be like, oh, I just wasted all that.
Here's my other thing that like really got me with Dixon here. They tried to hype up Dixon as like a huge, massive Survivor fan, like massive, watches all of it, blah, blah, blah. He then says, I couldn't get, like, his excuse to Letty, and whether it's bullshit or whether it's serious, his excuse to Letty is, I couldn't get through the quicksand, so I didn't think Parvati would be able to either. It's like Parvati's entire time on Survivor has been like boxer. I think she's a charity organizer in Fans versus Favorites, which cracks me up because like, whatever. But she's always been physical. Like, that's always been her thing. Like, she was like a model boxer. And then she does like yoga. She does all that stuff. Like, this is well known about her. So like, why would she not be able to? It's not like she's like 60, like she's in her early 40s going out there playing Survivor. She's still fit as hell. Of course she's gonna be able to do this. So I thought that was funny that that was Dixon's excuse. And whether Letty bought it or not didn't matter, but you're right. I mean, Letty says, I thought we were going to try to get Parvati out. And Dixon's like, well, I didn't think she'd be able to do it. Whether that's true or not, why are you letting Parvati go when the red case is still available? Just let somebody else go, pick up the red case. And if they don't get across, at least Parvati can't get it. I thought that was crazy. And like, it is exactly what Letty said. And I'm glad to hear Letty saying, and it's what Philip was pushing for last week when he was arguing with Parvati, which is, why are we just giving this game to Parvati? Like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? And I will be curious at the end. Look, last year it was all physical at the end. It was all physical. So right now, Letty and David would be the best position, and Philip. I mean, Philip's very physical. Parvati's okay here physically. I mean, better than Dixon, as we saw. And I think CK would be screwed. But the end game of last season was all physical. Every single thing was physical, 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 physical. That's not going to be the case here this season, hopefully. If it is, hopefully they learn from this, because literally the lady Amy, who was on last season, who was a more entertaining personality, had no chance of winning because the last two things were so massively physical and she was not physical at all. That wasn't her game. So hopefully that's not the case here. If it's not the case, I'm curious to see how the game will be different at the end. But my point of this is, like, you're watching Parvati play, and you're saying, okay, if it gets down to just like physical, physical, physical at the end, like last year, the literal last challenge to determine who was going to face the banker was you had to walk across a rope and hold on to ropes, and whoever got to the middle first won. Could you imagine Parvati doing that versus David at the end after Parvati's been safe every single episode of this show and she loses right there? Like, that would feel so stupid. That would feel so boring. But at the same time, if they did learn their lesson and it's not physical anymore, Parvati is now making it so deep into the game that whatever the change is probably going to benefit Parvati more than whatever the season one ending was. So why are we just letting Parvati walk through this game if we're the civilians? And I don't care what Dixon's excuse is. You don't know how the end game is going to work. Why do you want to go to final three with David and Parv? It makes absolutely no sense. So that's my whole argument is, I do feel that the show probably made a change that would benefit somebody like Parvati a little bit more because of how bad the end of the game was last season. And so if you, maybe you're not assuming that, but why would you want to go to Final Three with those two? It just makes no sense to me. And it feels like Dixon just rolled over and let it happen. And I thought that was stupid.
Also, this is another Dixon thought process. Dixon, you just fell off. Oh, whatchamacallit?
Balance beam.
The balance beam. David fell off too and knew exactly how to walk to cross. How did David not scream that out to Dixon if he cares so much about you? And you're giving him the keys to the castle right after he didn't help you at all. And you're watching him do the crawl and everyone else realize, oh, I can do that too. And you're the only one who gets auto put up because everyone else got a case. And the whole time you're thinking, instead of thinking, why didn't David scream that out to me? You're thinking, how am I so weak? I didn't get a case. This is literally words he said. Mm-hmm. And you're like, your alliance betrayed
you. Yeah. You're the third person in this alliance. That's why.
Like, you almost have to, at that point, David, you have to put me in as the person for Deal or No Deal. I will get rid of CK. And then you flop F5 and work with Philip and Letty because they have no one else. And you just take CK's spot. Mm-hmm. And you're the swing at five. If you like Dixon had opportunities to play this well, and then who knows if he would have won his Deal or No Deal. But the fact that Letty was like, I'm going to get rid of Dixon if you put me in the position of power.
David was like, all right,
probably not. You're probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
It was like, wait, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
Letty has literally been, I like saying the word Letty, so I know it's wrong, but it's like my favorite thing. So it's Letty. Letty being like, she's the most honest person. She hasn't done anything sideways. She literally laid it out for the audience of like, I've been backstabbed twice because I had the opportunity to put people in power position three times. One time somebody did it right. Two people backstabbed me. But I've always said what I said I'm going to do. And then we go, here's my conversation with David. I will eliminate Dixon. I don't care about him at all.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're like in a showmance probably, so we'll be fine. Like, it's funny because David and Parvati had basically nothing go wrong for them besides, like, did they care about MG or not? And it's like, they've had so much stuff go perfectly for them that they're like, it'll probably keep going perfectly. You should watch the after show with Boss Rob.
We got to throw
that chance of that happening.
Michael Gorey. Oh,
Dixon has a master plan thinking about this years later.
I'm bouncing and now I'm hitting my microphone because you're in tool mode. Michael Goryev says you should watch the after show with Boston Robin Dixon. He basically says he thought he could take Parvati. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Nobody else has been able to. Sandra's the only one who's been able to take Parvati. Like, what are we talking about?
And if it's a physical thing, she's beat him in every physical competition so far.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't see anything about him that says, oh man, this guy is so physical, he could win a challenge. Like, no, like he has Dixon was weird for me because I feel like, again, you didn't watch season one, but I feel like they were trying to get Aaron 2.0 with Dixon and it just did not work out. It just did not work out at all. And sometimes that happens. I mean, we talk about this all the time with Survivor and stuff. You try to find your second coming of X, Y, or Z, and it doesn't matter. He said he thought he could take part in the challenges, and Rob laughs at him. There you go. So even Boston Rob is like, come on, Dixon. And it just seems like Dixon didn't really get it. I mean, Dixon was one where he gave his confessionals. He was fine in the confessionals. It's not like I didn't like Dixon. It's just I don't feel that Dixon truly understood what the game was supposed to be or how he was supposed to play it when he came walking out on the island. So that's always a little tough when you're coming off and then you're saying, okay, ooh, we were kind of putting some eggs in the basket of Dixon being somebody who can compete for screen time with some of these other players. And it didn't really happen that much. I didn't really get to know Dixon. I don't really know any. The only thing I know about Dixon is that he was the son of Parvati and David, and they were doing what they were doing. At this point, he goes home. he was never going to be able to beat poverty. We don't really know what else would have taken place here, but like Dixon goes home. Now we have five left. Obviously we talk all the time about how Deal or No Deal Island, what makes this show the most interesting compared to some other shows is the fact that you can't just gamify this where, oh, poverty is up and she gets to choose somebody to play the banker and that person will go. Like, you could always be losing somebody from your alliance. But when you look at the people who are remaining with Parvati, David, Philip, Letty, and CK, Philip, Letty, and CK, you would hope would take out David and Parvati at this point, or at least be pushing to put them up against the banker, no? And if they have the option, if they're the one who has to play the banker and they win against the banker, you would hope that they're going to get rid of Parvati or David, no?
And if it's a double elimination, I think this is like, okay, you can hide one spot. Mm-hmm. Hiding two spots is super hard for like if the entire game wants you out, like I gotta win immunity or you like Parvati has to win this next time. Like the last nine do not matter if you can't win immunity this time. And if it's a double elimination, I'm assuming that means either one person or two people will be immune, and then it'll be three, and whoever wins knocks out the other two.
So here's where this gets a little interesting. So in season one, the final four was a giant maze. So to get from four to one, they didn't play Deal or No Deal once. They went from four people to one person without playing Deal or No Deal. So at final four, it was a giant maze. The last person out of the maze was eliminated on the spot, no matter what amount they had in their case. Then whoever had the lowest amount in their case after that maze was also eliminated. So that served as the double elimination. Then they did the challenge where they walk across the ropes to the middle. One, whoever gets to the middle first wins, and then they play the banker. So literally the format of the game totally changed at the end of the game, which is so fascinating to me that they would just let it implode like that. And yes, now I have finally watched the finale. So look at me. I can talk about it.
Oh, my goodness. But, great.
But when I see that take place, when I see how that all shakes out, I'm assuming they're changing it this season. I wonder what the double elimination will look like. They're not just going to have them go run a maze again because that didn't work. It didn't fit with the format of the show. It defeated the purpose of Deal or No Deal Island. It just became Island. Like it became any other reality TV competition show. It didn't make sense in the grand scheme of what is Deal or No Deal Island. So they also didn't announce that it was a double elimination last time because, first of all, like they ended the episode before the maze was even over because it was the cliffhanger of will Boston Rob make it? Kind of like what I think the Traders is doing with Danielle of will Danielle make it? Which the answer was no for Boston Rob, and I think it's going to be no for Danielle. But when you sit here and you watch this happen and they say it's going to be double elimination, I don't necessarily think that it's going to involve playing Deal or No Deal. I think that they're probably going to do a double elimination in some other way. I think somebody will be eliminated before they go play Deal or No Deal. Like I think somebody might be eliminated from the challenge and then somebody will be eliminated in Deal or then somebody will play the banker and either get eliminated by losing to the banker or pick somebody to go home. I think the only person who's going to be safe in the next episode is going to be the person who wins whatever the excursion is. That's just my take. That's how I feel about it. Whoever wins whatever the excursion is the only one who will be safe. And then I think there will be three people remaining at that point other than the person who wins the excursion, because I think one person will be eliminated, and then they'll get into it. If they do it all at Deal or No Deal Island Temple, then I think they're giving too much power to the person who wins. Plus, if the person goes and plays the banker and loses, how do they determine who the second person eliminated is?
Yeah, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. And I think this is what is always in my head of watching a brand new format or whatever. Like Survivor and Big Brother and a couple others got in so early where we're all, this is a jury. They're going to vote for one of the two people that voted them out. Like it's such a satisfying, not only satisfying, but like everyone understands what's going to happen. We will never have a, wait, why did they do that? And I think some of these newer shows that everyone's loved, some of them that I've even worked on, like The Circle, still hasn't had like a satisfying finale where the best person won because specifically this happened. Like it's, you could throw people off or whatever. Like it's time. I've put in 9 episodes of watching Deal or No Deal Island. How can this finale be the most bestest episode?
Well, next week's not the finale though,
right? That's, yeah, what's even more like,
yeah,
okay, double elimination, then it's going to only be three. Like, I hope it's like, I hope Phillip's in the final three. I hope one of David and Parvati is, and then it's like,
and I honestly hope the other one is Letty.
Yeah. One of CK or Letty would be whichmacallit. And I think it's interesting. You said it's Letty's breakout episode when she's won three excursions beforehand and had some screen time.
We actually heard her talk more about what her strategy was, though, and how she was going to get at people. I know that she has had some strategy talk in other episodes, but this was the first one where I was like, oh, could Letty actually be a winner here? Thomas McGee says if Letty wins, we'll be like Jordan winning. Not at all. Jordan literally didn't exist on that show. So when I say this is a breakout episode, I just mean that, like, this is a breakout episode from the standpoint of, I feel like I finally know who Letty is. I finally know what her strategy is. I finally saw her have control, because even though she won those three excursions, she never really had control when she won those. Like, right. Like, she would have the power, but it wasn't the person she wanted to go home who was going home. This one, we got to see her play the game. We got to see her eliminate Dixon. We got to see her pretty much flip off David and Parvati there and say, I'm not playing your stupid little games. I think that that was good. And I honestly feel like maybe they are setting up Letty as the winner of the show. I mean, if you had to say based on this, and I don't think edit on Deal or No Deal Island matters at all, because they're obviously going to show Parvati and they're obviously going to show David a lot. But if you had to say right now, who do you actually think would be playing against the banker at the temple at the end of the game? Like, who would you want it to be? And who do you think it'll be?
To win the whole thing at the end. I mean, I hope it's Philip because he's been layering his whatchamacallit this whole time. And like, CK has had some very, CK should be gone by now. Yeah. She's had some very questionable, like, stuff to say to her allies. She's had some very questionable, like, backstabs. Like, how is she still here? She was basically given a free immunity right after her OTTN5 episode for all those Edric fans. And it's like, Parvati would make sense, because I think that's what's interesting about Deal or No Deal Island still after nine episodes is who's playing the best game. Mm-hmm. And like, Parvati has been for the last seven episodes the most, what was when we threw hatchets, we were like the most, the scariest or the biggest threat. There we go.
Yeah.
I can't remember my normal survivor stuff. The biggest threat. And like, even though she's been the biggest threat for seven episodes, nobody has cared or nobody has stopped her from this. So is that a real thing? Like, I would almost be like, if it was a traditional thing and it's her versus David and people were voting who played the better game, would they all vote for Parvati, or would they be like, you just literally had an immunity streak for 10 weeks. Like, who cares? Like, David was in and out. David was playing. David was vulnerable week one. David had a time where he did the banker and he took out Dr. Will, or whatever, and all that stuff. And like, I think he has played a better game. So David would be the person who, if that side wins, I would like to see David play the bank. And then does he go, thanks for getting me $4 million on Deal or No Deal Island, Parvati. I'll help you win the next show we're on, if we're ever on a next show together. Oh, wait.
Wink, wink. Hi. What's going on? Can't wait to see you in Australia or Samoa or wherever the hell it is. No, I mean, I think that's going to be interesting, is like, who is the most worthy from what we've watched from a edit standpoint? Let's kind of break down these final five now that I feel like we know all of them. CK has pissed off everybody. I would be floored to see CK win based on the edit we've seen of her and the fact that she's pissed off everybody. Like, I would be shocked if CK won. So let's eliminate her. Letty has played a strong game. She's been on the wrong side of a lot of situations, but she's had to navigate. She's physical, so she could get there. She's beaten the banker once, so that could be an argument in her favor. So I feel like we have seen positive from her. Philip, we saw playing with Parvati, but never aligning with Parvati and understanding the difference between those two things, and then going and playing with Parvati anyway, and then going against Parvati and being the one who was willing to confront Parvati and talk to Parvati. We've seen, whether you think that they're legit fears or not, we've seen him overcoming fears that's been left in the edit, whether it was heights or the iguanas or any of that stuff. Like, that's been left in, which is relatable and is likable. And you know, we know he's a big fan. We know he's out there. You know, he's talking to everybody. You have Parvati, who is coming in as the star of the season. Her and Dr. Will were the two stars coming into this show. So Parvati's coming in as a star. She's living up to the star potential here because everybody knows who she is and everybody wants, you know, everybody's working with her. Or if they're not working with her, they're not necessarily working against her. She's been immune every time. But will she be rewarded in the end for being immune every time? Or is this a show that's going to be like, well, Parvati, you like, is it almost like the challenge where you never got your skull, you never got your shield, whatever, the one season of the challenge I watched where I wanted to pierce my eyeballs. But like when you watch that and you see that, like, could there be a punishment to her for being immune as much as she is? Or how will she be able to get into the final case? Like if she has to do a challenge against somebody, she's not immune because she's more physical than everybody out there. She's more immune because she's just gotten the best draw in all these games. And then you do have David, who you already outlined. He beat the banker once. He's the one who took out Dr. Will. He's been good in the challenges. He was part of that family alliance. He's had a lot going. So when I shake it out that way, I truly, and I'm not being a hater here because the thing is, I do like Parv. Her fans are so crazy sometimes where it's like, you guys got to calm down every now and then. Like, I understand you're excited, but like Parvati is not God's gift. She's great, but she's not God's gift. Here's the thing. When I look at this and try to be objective with it, I don't think that Parvati is winning this season. Like, I would be surprised. I feel like they could have given us more Parvati if she was going to win this season. I feel like we would have heard more Parvati strategizing if she was going to win this season. I feel like they would have found a way to make Parvati seem more conniving if she was going to win this season. And so far, yeah, we've heard from her. She's been immune. But that's really the extent of it. Like, I don't feel like we've gotten more than that. So that's just my take. But Blake, what do you think now that I just broke down everybody and talked for 5 minutes?
I think one thing that just popped in my head of like, how do we make this interesting for the finale is like, hey, by the way, how much money have you put in the final case yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And then CK has made it through two good deals and she has over $1 million. We had to get rid of Dixon because he had $5 million and he would have one of those final three spots by adding the most in the case. David has put money in the final case and so has Letty, but Parvati has not put anything in the final case.
Well, she has though. Cause anytime the one time she wins the excursion, whatever, like the high, I know you're not putting it into the final case, but you're putting that. Okay. I get what you're saying. Cause she's not putting it into the case, but she's putting the highest value on the board. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm saying so you're just talking, you want a case. Okay. You want a deal and you're putting like currently Luke from episode one has put more money of $1 in than
one
both
cent.
Parvati.
Oh no, it was $1. Fuck.
I wish it was Parvati and Philip.
Yeah.
But Philip also hasn't done that. So it's like, I think there was a season of the challenge where it was like, you can't make it to the end unless you put yourself in danger.
I said
that almost seems like the banker, like that's something where I feel like could come around of like the banker being like, I care about people who put themselves in danger. And honestly, Parvati, you being immune is pretty sick, but now it's time to be in danger. You too, Philip. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Cause they haven't put any money in or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that's a wrinkle that I would be like, oh, you didn't know that this was happening in the background, but on episode one, we told you the banker likes people that flirt with danger. And this is what we meant by that. And it'd be like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And you can't lose Parvati in some uneventful way, right? Like you can't lose her in the,
she just gets
like in the Ceree type way or something like that, where it's like, oh, like there was some wrinkle in the game and now she's out. But I do get what you're saying. Like rewarding people in more, cause look, Letty played perfect Deal or No Deal today for what Deal or No Deal Island is, which is as soon as her odds were better than 50-50, she just took the deal. Like when her odds were worse than 50-50, she didn't take the deal. When they were 50-50, she took one more chance, got her odds up to 66.7%. And she said, okay, I'll take that one. Perfect way to play Deal or No Deal. It doesn't matter what the number is. So maybe there should be a way of rewarding the players down the line for how much money they put in. Like maybe, if I don't know who's put the most money in, but let's say David, just for argument's sake.
I have it up here.
Is it CK? Care? Yeah.
CK's put in over $1 million and he's second at 999999.
Okay. So let's say it's CK. So CK put the most money in. Now CK gets to make the decision of at the final five with this double elimination. She gets to decide who's in danger, who goes up and plays the banker, and who's safe. Like, maybe CK gets to say, Letty, you're safe. Parvati, you're playing the banker. And David and Philip, you guys are in danger. If Parvati wins, David and Philip, you're going home. If Parvati loses, then David or Philip, I get to pick which one of you go home. I know that's probably too much power to a player, but maybe there should be some sort of reward.
Might as well.
There should be something, because there's nothing currently for making a $1.5 million deal instead of one penny. Doesn't matter.
And truly, Final Five to me feels endgame in any reality show you're in. Like, I truly think it starts at five, four, boom, Big Brother, Survivor, Circle, Mole, like everything. Like, I made it to endgame. If you said anything before five, I'm like, come on, dude. So it's crazy to me we're endgame right now, and we're about to watch three more hours of Deal or No Deal. Mm-hmm. And what are they going to fill those hours with? Of like, is it going to be a bunch of confessionals of like, I'm so proud I made it to this point? Is it going to be jam-packed full of challenges? And I think one thing I want to say right now, of now that I'm nine episodes in with this lovely show, I do miss some of the other challenges from other seasons. Like, walking across a balance beam with a heavy briefcase over quicksand is not a final six challenge in my mind. Of like, there was nothing really visually cool about it. We had our second contestant kind of break it, and then everyone used that thing to break it as well. So we didn't really get a satisfying, like, who can do it and who can't. And I get that it's kind of, this feels like the most summer campy of the shows that I watch. Mm-hmm. Of, you could do all these shows at your favorite summer camp if you're a kid in Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, you could do a, let's do Deal or No Deal challenges for a whole summer. And it's like, oh, we have all this stuff in the shed. And maybe you don't have, like, there's no, we did a zip line, but we haven't done, like, rappelling. We haven't done bungee.
They did rappelling in season one. If they haven't done it in season two, they did do rappelling in season one. They did a launch thing where, like, they climbed up to a tower. Like, they got lifted up into a tower, almost like if you're at, like, a carnival, like, those things where, like, you swing out or you're laying on your stomach.
Right.
They did that, and they had to drop the bag. So, I agree with you, though.
Imagine like being the producer and being like, if final six, we're going to cross a balance beam. Great.
I feel like I do agree with you. I feel like the other challenges have been more exciting. Like, to me, still, I feel like probably one of the best challenges, if not the best challenge of the season, was when they were both on the hammocks going up, and it's, you have to decide which one of these you're going to do. Even last week's was an epic challenge. Last week's challenge had a lot going on. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, you have to cut, you have to go through and you have to eliminate people, and then you keep moving and then eliminate somebody. And then the people who got eliminated earlier have a chance to kind of get redemption on some, like, get somebody else eliminated. I thought that was fun. This one was very straightforward. It was very, very, very straightforward. If you got across with a red case, you were safe. That was the end of the story. And they're the heaviest. Who cares if they're that heavy? Like, how heavy? It's not like it's 45 pounds. It's not like you're carrying a keg.
I mean, everyone fell off that balance beam after four steps anyway. Like,
yeah, so it didn't matter.
If I'm the balance beam designer, clearly you failed as the balance beam designer of, you should have made it a little more wider, because you're hoping for 33% of your contestants to cross the balance beam successfully.
Unless they wanted everybody just covered in mud, right, in the, you know, and that was the point.
And
is like,
CK had a crazy fall that maybe,
yeah, oh my
you'll,
God,
you'll
be, that was insane.
You'll get to have a viral moment of, did this girl die? But then,
I mean, that's a great viral moment, but like, she almost, like, she could have broke her neck doing that. Like, she literally landed on her head.
I'm surprised. Thank God. She jumped right back up, to be honest.
Yeah, thank God that was quicksand and not sand, because she would have broke her neck.
I mean, what's the difference with quicksand? Like,
it's softer.
Oh, I mean, broke my neck, but it felt good.
Well, let me just say this. Like, when it comes to CK, like, learn to fall. Like, learn to fall. You did not fall correctly, ma'am. I mean, so here's my question.
If CK wins, are you going to be like, I'm never watching Deal or No Deal Island again?
No, I don't feel that way about any of the people left, okay, honestly. Great. I really don't. Great. I feel like if CK wins, I would actually probably go back and watch some of the episodes to be like, okay, where, like, was it hidden that CK was going to win this whole time? But I just don't see how she ends up winning, because she's not going to win a physical challenge against somebody. She won't win a popularity contest against somebody. And I don't think if it came down to it, she would win a strategic competition against anybody. So whatever the end game is going to be, whether it's going to be social where you're just voting people out, whether it's going to be physical where you have to compete against any of the remaining people in a challenge of any kind, or if it's a strategic element of like, oh, you have to, you know, figure something out to beat the banker, air quotes. I don't think she beats the remaining people in any of those. Maybe she beats Letty in a strategic thing. Maybe she beats Philip in a physical thing if it's heights related, since he doesn't like heights. Otherwise, I think she loses, and socially she loses to everybody remaining in the game. If it ever comes down to like, we're voting somebody out and we just get to do it. Like if it's literally Survivor, CK is the person who gets voted out.
Gotcha.
All right, so my question to you is, you're now 9 episodes in. I watched season 1. Are you enjoying this still? Or has your joy decreased because Dr. Will was eliminated? Or has your joy decreased because you feel that the game, now that you're 9 episodes in, you're not, this isn't must-watch Tuesday night TV for you anymore?
Hello, my name is Blake Meyer, and I am a reality TV fan. Hello, my name is Blake Meyer. I like when people are making strong strategic decisions. Hi, my name is Blake Meyer. I like when people are doing crazy feats that I cannot do in my everyday life. Hi, my name is Blake Meyer. I like when characters are over the top and villainous. Mm-hmm. So under those three rubrics of what I enjoy reality shows since 2002 of me watching, are, it's kind of rough because we don't have strong strategic players at all in this season. I'm going to go ahead and say it didn't happen at all. The strong strategic players have such a chokehold on the gameplay that it's kind of ruining my, like, unless Parvati, because right now it's, do Parvati and David get usurped? If they do, it's kind of like, damn, they had a chokehold the whole time and they got like a twist and got screwed. Or I almost don't want Letty and Philip to figure it out, because they should have figured it out 5 episodes ago.
I think Philip and Letty have figured it out the earliest. I think getting everybody else on board, the infighting and stuff, right, has just, like, been there.
How did Parvati and David let them get to Final 5 if they're their strongest adversaries? Like, mm-hmm. Even Parvati and David haven't played with all the power they've had. How is their Final 5 competition the three strongest physical players?
Because at the end of the day, with Deal or No Deal Island, no matter how good your strategy is, no matter how strong your alliances are, random things can happen. MG going home was random. That throws off Parvati and David's plan. Dixon going home tonight or last night wasn't random, but it still throws off the plan you have. Like, because the person who is up for elimination can eliminate any of the other vulnerable people whenever they want, it does change the dynamic of the game pretty significantly in a way that we don't see on other shows. I think Deal or No Deal Island works. I really do. I think what they need to do in season number 3 is, I think they need to have less time playing Deal or No Deal and less time with just the challenges and more time with the actual strategizing. Because if this is going to be a strategy show, which it is a strategy show. If this is going to be a strategy show, you can't have 30 minutes of every 42 minutes be related to playing a random game of chance or doing a challenge that is super convoluted. That gives you only 12 minutes to get to know the characters and what their reasoning for things are. And I know that they have confessionals during challenges and things like that, but they're not, it's not the same, because you're still ultimately watching them kind of more discuss what they're thinking as they're going through the challenge. It's different. So for me, I think they need to figure out a way to get more time on that island in those tents with people communicating and saying, this is why I want to do the strategy. And I think the show will be significantly better. I think the smartest thing they can do moving forward is cut out all the BS when they're playing Deal or No Deal of, I'm going to go with number 4 because that's how many kids I have. Cut that stuff out as much as you can and make the Deal or No Deal game 5 minutes every episode. I think if they do that, this show becomes much better. Yes. Oh, but it's Deal or No Deal Island. We need to have big Deal or No Deal. Make the game 5 minutes long. Don't have a commercial break in the middle of it every time. Just do it and get it done, because we all know it's Deal or No Deal, but we have now watched 9 different games of Deal or No Deal on this season. And at the end of the day, we don't care how much money they're winning. We just want to see, will they ever get to a point of they have better than 50-50 odds? And if they do, will they take the deal like they should and survive? we don't care how much money they're winning. So that makes it so it's a little bit tougher, because what we care about as an audience is who's being eliminated. We don't care that they put $1.5 million in, because that $1.5 million does nothing for us. And we're not doing quick math to say, oh,
I mean,
how much money is the case at right now? Nobody knows. Who cares?
Right. I think I didn't do all 3 points of my thing earlier, but we can get there in a second. I think what popped into my head, I've just put both my trains and crashed them. I think you can copy from successful. You're already copying the cast from successful shows. Mm-hmm. Why don't you copy some other stuff of what they do and do the whole, like, the person who won the excursion now is going to go eat pineapples and coconuts with the three people that are up for elimination. And it's an actual bungalow that can't be invaded by the other safe people. And you get that group of people talking, then you get the people being like, it's a reward challenge that we're picking who's going on the reward with you. And it's all the people that are begging for safety from you. Then that side has all their talks. The people that are back there being like, dude, I know Parvati has all the control. I hope she uses it the right way. I didn't get to talk to her before she left. And then we come back with, here's who is going up on the board because we decided it at the thing. And then there's like a fallout and then a strategy thing. And now straight in Deal or No Deal Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's how we get to know people better.
I think they might have done a reward type aspect once last season or something. I don't remember if I'm right or wrong. I might be making this up, but like, I literally think that they didn't even show it. It was like, yeah, we did it. And I do agree. I think there needs to be, we as an audience need to understand the strategizing a little bit better of what's going on without so much emphasis on Deal or No Deal.
And what, cause when we're casting shows, you're selling the world to these people. You're going to go to Panama and you're going to compete in crazy challenges. And the crazy challenges are just not a thing currently.
They're hit or miss. And that's how season one was. The challenges are very hit or miss.
And like, I if we're going to have a hit or miss challenge, I'd rather have like the crossing a balance beam at six is legitimately like a, if there was a Peridium for Deal or No Deal Island, what are the worst three challenges in Deal or No Deal Island history? If that balance beam is not in the top three, I'd be like, damn, then if that's not one of the worst, then it's even worse than I thought. But it's just something where you're like, what are we doing? Okay, earlier, whenever I was talking about, I'm a Dr. Will fan. Why am I a Dr. Will fan? I think he's equal parts crazy strategy and crazy character. And as soon as he was eliminated, whether I've liked him for 20 years or it's because I like strong characters that also do strategy, that void was clear. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of hard to, okay, who's going to go after Parvati? Okay, the answer to that is nobody. And then it's like, is Parvati playing a strong game? I guess by default, yes. But is it impressive to me? Because I've seen Parvati work on full cylinders to get herself out of bad spots. That seeing her play from the top and being always immune is probably the least interesting I've ever seen her play, because she hasn't been challenged. Because my favorite Parvati moments are whenever she's like, completely screwed but gets out of it anyway.
When she's an underdog, that's what I like about Parvati. Yeah, when Parvati's an underdog, that's the best. That's why fans are his favorites. People love her because she's on the wrong side of the numbers and she spins everything. That's great. Yeah. They want her out literally the moment they step on the beach.
Right. Who have they wanted out since day one on this show?
Nobody.
Maybe CK has worked, but CK's not as likable as Parvati that season. And then they have kind of dismissed Philip recently. But Philip, even whenever Philip gets picked last, we're playing a solely strategic game. And they ask, or Joe asked Philip, like, how does it feel to be last picked? And he goes straight into emotion. And you're like, brother, like, this is not, you got picked last because nobody likes you. This is, you got picked last because we're trying to win $1 million. Well, we're trying to win $30 million or whatever. Like,
yeah. And I think that's, again, where I could see Philip winning. Because they're keeping those moments in for all of this right now.
Right.
We are getting so much personal story from Philip that we're not getting from other players. And like his fears, his anxieties, his past experience, we're getting all that. They could have easily cut that 4 seconds.
I mean, we don't know any about that from Dixon or Letty. So
they
could have wins. Great.
Yeah, they could have easily just had it be Philip. How do you feel about this? He gives that answer, and they leave it on the cutting room floor because it means nothing to the show. Maybe it's signaling that he is going to be the person playing, or he's going to get very far and ultimately get cut because of something like that, where it is a choice between two people and somebody chooses Philip not to go. But yeah, I feel like the Philip stuff. Yeah. Like some of it might be like, okay, like, you know, that's not necessarily why you're being left out or anything like that. But the fact that they're keeping it in the edit, I think is great for his game. And right now, out of all the civilians, that's the one you're pulling for. I mean, honestly, I'd rather see Philip win than Parvati. And I know that that's crazy to say, but I think David right now is probably the one who I feel is the most worthy, air quotes, of the title. And then I'd say Philip, and then I'd say Parvati, because exactly what you said. And watching Parvati walk through this game without ever being in danger of going home isn't exciting. It's not.
Now that we're 48 minutes in, we're getting to the actual meat and potatoes of what I think is interesting about the show. But David won last night. David has full control. Are we going to get rid of CK? Why did he not watch the first season? I didn't watch the first season. I don't know how physical this thing is going to be. But how does he not put Dixon up, Dixon win, and eliminate Philip? He's our biggest threat strength-wise. Like, in my mind, this whole time that we've been talking about this stuff, I was like, Philip wasn't up for elimination, or they could have gone after him. Then I went and looked, and it's like Philip was at risk last night. How does Philip get zero targeting? Like, I don't think we had any talk about
that. He hasn't been targeted really at all the entire time because he hasn't played Deal or No Deal, and it feels like he should be somebody who's being targeted, which, again, maybe that's the edit telling us they're not seeing him as a threat. I don't know.
Right. And it's like if they're going to have him go last in the order, like – How is he, like, if you win Dixon, you would go after CK and just completely oblivious to the blind spot of Philip when Philip is going to be the one who runs past him in the final challenge? Like, has there not been, I guess there hasn't been a challenge where all six of them run at the same time or all five of them are doing this at the same time. I think there's been heats, which maybe messes up your brain a little bit. And I think there could be some ego here of like, I'm not really worried about anybody. Who cares who gets to the final five? But it's like, if you could guarantee your win by a mile, why would you play against people that you're going to only beat by 20 feet?
Mm-hmm. We'll find out. That's it.
On Deal or No Deal Island, season
episode 10. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening to this. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know what you thought of the episode, how you think this is shaking out, what you think of Parvati's game, what you think of David's game, who you think out of the civilians has the best chance to maybe win this, how you think they're going to do the end game this season, because I'd be really surprised if they do the exact same thing they did last season. But we'll be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time to recap episode number 10. If you're looking for Survivor content, Will and I will be live tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time with our recap of tonight's episode. It won't be live tonight because we are going to the Bryce and Wen event, and we just want to go have a good time in the rainy, rainy, rainy Southern California. How in the world did Bryce and Wen manage to pick one of like the 15 days in Southern California that it rains for this like half indoor, half outdoor event? I will never know, but that's how it goes. So we'll see you there tonight. Otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you want to get in on our power rankings game and you're one of the 30 people listening right now, make sure you get in on the power rankings game now. There was an issue with the power rankings game to start. The link is in over at the Patreon in the chat for the top tier patrons. It's called Fantasy 48 Game Link or something like that. There was an issue with the power rankings. So if you're listening to this now, make sure you update your power rankings and have that all right. Otherwise, thank you all so much for playing or listening, and we will see you all next time.
See ya.